It has been said, with great power comes great responsibility. If this is true, then no nation on this planet should be held more to account than the United States of America. America, the moral universe demands, be better. Do better. Stop letting your people die, America. Everybody, and welcome to the premiere episode of American Cruelty, the podcast that says to hell with the foolishness, we are here to punch up. I'm your host, Michael Wesley. Now, to understand American Cruelty, the podcast, all you need to do is understand the words of the famous Uncle Ben. No, not the old black man on the box on aisle 7 at Kroger, but the Uncle Ben from the Spider-Man movie. Uncle Ben, whose dying words to Peter Parker were, "With great power comes great responsibility." American Cruelty, the podcast, asserts that America has yet to live up to its moral responsibilities relative to its immense power and its immense wealth. America can easily afford to feed all its hungry. America can easily afford to house all its homeless. America can develop intellect without forcing its citizens into lifetime debt. America can afford a $21.50 per hour minimum wage in 2021. America can pay for every dental implant, every cataract surgery, and every cancer treatment for all its citizens. America could easily pay every airline worker, every cruise ship worker, every nightclub worker, every restaurant worker, and every hotel worker to stay home during COVID-19 until implementation of a nationwide vaccine. America can eliminate aging into poverty. America can stop giving tax breaks and low-interest loans to those who have the most while denying these same opportunities to those who are more worthy and in greater need of capital. America can do all these things and more. And it can do it while keeping Jeff Bezos, Mitt Romney, Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, and all the Walmart Walton children insanely, disgustingly filthy. American Cruelty, the podcast, exists to say enough of the foolishness of blaming minorities, poor people, socialist welfare queens, Black Lives Matter protesters, or any other people with less power, less wealth, or less privilege than you. Enough of the foolishness of punching down. Keep punching down. Keep playing the fool. American Cruelty, the podcast, exists. It exists to make America punch up again. MAPA. Make America punch up again. Save the rah-rah, hardworking American, personal responsibility spill. We've heard it all before. Don't preach at us about bootstraps we've never had. We know personal responsibility. We are Americans. We know the personal responsibility of student debt into our 60s. We know the responsibility of GoFundMes to pay for cancer treatment. We know the personal responsibility of staying in an abusive relationship because he, she, they has the job with the health insurance. American Cruelty, the podcast, it's about national responsibility. national responsibility that says, okay, America, you say it. You keep saying you're number one. You're the greatest country in the world. Okay, let's prove it. Let's compare how other wealthy countries treat their people versus how you treat yours. National responsibility says, America, you can do better. You have the wealth. You have the power. You have the wealth to pay all your workers a living wage. You have the wealth to provide universal health care. You have the wealth to provide free pre-K through graduate school education. You have the power for all your workers to have paid sick leave. You have the power to pay workers and business owners to stay home during COVID-19. America is like a person who watches an old blind woman step into a busy intersection. Your power, your duty, your responsibility requires that you intervene to provide safety and protection. And you could easily do it. Yet you choose to lean against the light pole and do nothing but watch. Providing so little for your people shows not only that you are irresponsible, it proves that you are cruel. It'd be best you take note, America. Americans are learning to punch up, and they have pitchforks. Well, thank you guys for hanging around. That was part one. I've decided I'm going to do this first episode in three parts. It's not going to be very long, I don't think. But I figured I'd break it up into three parts because I'm trying to make sense of anyway. But okay, part two. Part two is going to be about why I decided to do this podcast and what motivated me to do this and why I believe that America is uniquely cruel in a lot of ways. Okay, so to tell you a little bit about me, let's see, I am a boomer, I'm a black boomer. I'm a black boomer, Bernie bro, Bernie Stan, whatever we're supposed to be. And, Medicare for all that stuff, obviously. Married, homeowner, business owner, dad to four-legged kids. And this really is more about the homeowner part. So back in 2003, my wife and I, this was when I was working for a company that you guys heard of. I guarantee all of you heard of this company. And my wife was doing her healthcare thing, and we were doing good, real good financially. We were looking for a new house, and we found one in a really nice neighborhood in a nice town. It was actually voted one of the best places in the country to live and all that whatnot, at least a couple of times, I know, and recently too. But anyway, so we bought a house there, and when we bought it, we bought a third of what we could afford. It was silly. They were showing us mansions, McMansions, and these little, my wife and I, we would look at each other like, we don't need this. So we bought a home for a third of what we could afford, trying to be responsible for the whole thing, yada, yada. Anyway, so we got the house, a beautiful house, cherry wood, hardwood floors, 4 bedrooms, no, 5 bedrooms, 2.5 bath, about 3,000 square feet. And the neighborhood is like, the big problem you're going to have is Susan didn't pick up her dog's poop. You know, kids, it's a really nice neighborhood. But anyway, so that's where our house is. And me and my wife, we're still doing pretty good. We're college graduates. I looked at some numbers, and we have, for like the past 20-some-odd years, earned about 2 to 3 times the national average household income. That's what we've pretty much maintained for at least 20 years. And I have an Amex. I have a Platinum Amex. And I've had this card longer than some of you people have probably been alive. I've had my Platinum American Express since the year 2000. I need to get some music or something to go with. Yeah, I've had it since the year 2000. And yeah, so that's a little bit about us, you know. So we got this nice house. We still have good paying jobs. My business is doing well. It's been doing well for 15 years. But our situation is, it's one that I was trying to describe, and I was trying to think, what do I want to call it? And I finally decided I'm going to call it unimaginable pain. And I'm calling it that not because the pain that we've endured and are going through not because it's greater than a whole lot of people. I mean, I'm sure when I tell my story, a lot of people who hear this, well, at least some people, would probably jump at the chance to be in my situation versus where they are now. I completely get that. I mean, we are fortunate in a whole lot of ways. You know, we are the COVID people who did not struggle during we're not struggling during the pandemic. I mean, our business, well, my business is, it just, yeah, it goes. And it keeps, yeah, and my wife does healthcare, and she's well paid, and she's always in demand. She can get a job anywhere, literally. So, you know, our income, we're still doing that. And we have, in our house now, we've had it, yeah, since we got equity. We got a lot of equity. Yeah, we got a nice chunk of equity. And we're grateful to have the equity. You know, it's our nest egg. That matter. Yeah, really, that is our nest egg. I mean, because we, you know, I told you I'm booming and all, but we're still paying our student loan debt. It's really absurd at our age, paying student loan debt. But anyway, to tell you more about our situation, like I said, I recognize that a lot of people have it a whole lot worse. I know of stories of people living in hotels on the side of highways, and, you know, just, oh my God, it just tears you up, you know? Wow. Especially if you put it in context. The simple, obvious context of suffering in the richest, most powerful, most influential, most able nation on the planet. All of that suffering. The context. Wow. Our situation has been, people I know, I've told my story to, they've said things to me like, it's like you're in jail. I had one lady who's a friend of mine still to this day, very sweet old white lady, and I hope she doesn't take offense if she ever hears this, but she's a very sweet old white lady, about 5 foot, you know, she's Southern, I mean, literally about 5 foot tall, razor sharp, you know, and when I told her my story over her kitchen table, she grabbed my hand. She took my hand and she said to me with her head cocked to the side, she said, Mike, do you think it's because you're black? And I said, wow, okay. You are in my book. You know, you're one of my favorite people. That's so sweet of you to say that. Because, yeah, it's pretty consistent if we know a little bit about America. But then I've had one person say it's like being in prison or being in jail. And I had another person say, just because you're black. And I had another person, someone whose opinion I value greatly, and she described my position. She simply said, she looked me in the eye and she said, Michael, that's oppression. And when she said that, I just nodded my head. Yeah, okay. But, you know, when you hear something like that, you know, that word, just to, the idea of it with you, you know, applying it to you, oppression. You know, you hate to think of yourself as a victim of oppression. But I mean, you know, I respect this woman's opinion and she has not steered me wrong. And, you know, the more I think about what she said, it's like so consistent with a lot of things. But anyway, here's the story. With my Platinum American Express, let's see, we've gone with credit scores in like the high 700s, you know, 760. We've gone there, you know, with equity, with the neighborhood, you know, 90, 97, 98, 94. I don't know, all white people, mostly white folk, you know, appreciating property value. Wink, wink to me, wink, wink, wink. But yeah, so we've got equity in this house, and it's a nice neighborhood, and you know, we income, high income, you know, all that stuff. We cannot get a loan. We have been trying for well over a decade to simply get a loan, to simply get a refinance. And that's with equity in a nice neighborhood with a bunch of white people living next door to us with high income, with my Platinum Amex since the year 2000. We cannot get a bank to give us a goddamn loan on our fucking house. And I call this unimaginable pain because, wait one second. unlike, you know, the horror of a disease, you know, illness or, you know, is it to see the horror of its story? I'm not sure a lot of people can imagine what it means to, not have access to your own capital, to not have access to your home equity, to not be able to pay to upkeep your house. I have got to the point where I hate those green circles. And I mean, green circles, if you visit some of these rich people's house and you see those green circles around that house, they just like the whole perimeter, circle. And, you know, those things, they are termite stations. termite stations to protect their investment. How nice. Now, I told you a little bit about our home, you know, the beautiful cherry hardwood floors throughout downstairs, which is one reason we bought the house, plus the big, amazing bonus room over the garage that we can do with whatever the heck we want. But, you know, my God, there's a lot of reasons to like the house. But it is almost like a slow water torture kind of thing when you cannot access your equity, your capital, all while you see your home falling apart. Because every homeowner knows that you will have to invest. You don't own a home and just pay a mortgage. You must maintain that home. Because stuff happens. Now, we have had to replace both furnaces. We have had situations where the ceiling, we have a washer and dryer upstairs, and we have had it flood to the point where we've had the line back up to the point where the ceiling was leaking water into the kitchen. And, oh my goodness. Right now, as I say this to you, I'm sitting at my desk, and I'm looking up at my ceiling here, and it is a huge stain. I actually have a picture of when it first started versus the way it looks now, and there's a huge stain in my ceiling from rainwater. You know, you've seen those brown coffee-looking stains, and I have that, and I get scared every time it rains hard, because if it rains hard, not only will that stain get larger, it's already almost to half. It's going from one side to the center of my ceiling, and it gets bigger every time it rains. But if it rains hard enough, it leaks in this room. The rain leaks. And wow, that is not even the worst of it. The worst of it was for years, I was unable to replace the windows in my little home office, and for years, stink bugs would come into my office. I mean, for years and years, because our windows, this house was built a while back, and it had old windows, and by this time, because again, we could not access our capital to put in, you know, any money, the windows were decrepit and stink bugs could easily get in. And every day I would have to come into my office and I would have to kill a good 10, 12 stink bugs every day. And if I didn't kill them, you know, they just multiply and they land on your computer monitor, you know, on your food, you know, on your mouse. I mean, they just, and there's a reason they're called stink bugs. And it dawned on me when we were finally able to replace the windows, it dawned on me only then how bad my office smelled because of the dead stink bugs. I do have a picture that shows when I was finally able to get the windows replaced, in the old window it had, I mean, at least a dozen dead stink bugs that were living right here with me in this room for God knows how many years. But yeah, that's the kind of stuff. And again, I don't think people can, I'm sure some people can, but just to have those, that many bugs, to have to deal with them for years. Simply because you couldn't afford to have your windows replaced in one of the nicest neighborhoods in one of the nicest cities, supposedly in the country. Because no bank will give you a loan. Because no bank will give you a loan. We have been trying for, again, I'll say it, we've been trying for well over a decade to simply get a loan, just to simply get a refinance on our home. And bank after bank after bank after goddamn bank has said no. And we say they ain't nothing but racist police. So, that is pretty much, well, no, actually, I knew I was going to leave out a lot. The other thing I have to mention is that one big reason we've been trying to refinance is because we have a loan that is an ARM, and this particular loan dates back at least 10 years to, and again, you'd have to really, I guess, be of a certain age or at least have been paying attention to the housing market for the last 20 or so years to understand where I'm coming from with this, because back in the early 2000s, mid 2000s, the notion of refinancing was very different than what it is right now. The notion of refinancing was actually, it was pretty insane. People were refinancing 3 and 4 times a year. And we ended up getting a horrible loan after I lost my corporate job. We took out that loan with the goal of paying down debt. Since our income might have changed, but my business ended up doing well. But anyway, we took out this disgusting loan. It was an ARM, adjustable rate mortgage, with the balloon payment and so forth. And first off, with an adjustable rate mortgage, you know, it's based on the fluctuation of the market, the LIBOR in our case. And it came with what they call a balloon payment. And to tell you the horrors of this loan and how it has impacted us financially, this is the metaphorical knee on a black man's neck. Because it's not just about these racist police. It's about a racist society that will keep people down, especially if you're black. Especially if you're black. You can expect the metaphorical knee on your neck, as in, we cannot get a loan on our home with hundreds of thousands of dollars of equity. If you ain't living it, if you don't know it, then you don't know how it impacts your life as you watch your home fall apart. Those cherry wood floors, they are now threadbare. They are threadbare. There's no stain on our floors anymore. There's no varnish. There's no shine. It's all been worn down. Our carpet, I can easily show you many holes. I can show you just walking up the steps, holes in our carpet, to go along with the stain in the ceiling in my home office that makes me afraid every time it rains hard. All while we have hundreds of thousands of dollars in equity. This is one big reason why I wanted to, I didn't really want to start this podcast. I did and I didn't, you know. I didn't want to tell my personal story to you. I don't know you. I hope you guys get to know me, and I hope this thing can be something great. But I did not want to get personal about my life. But yeah, in a situation like this, whereas, you know, I see closet doors hanging off, you know, and I do the repairs that I can. I've installed toilets in my home. Still probably going to replace the last one. I have installed fixtures, you know, major repairs, built stairs for the backyard. You know, I've done what I could. I'm no carpenter. I'm no electrician. But when you own a home, you can expect to have to pay to maintain it. Otherwise, you will see it slowly fall apart. And that is part of the slow drip torture. Not only that, what this thing does, because in order to maintain your home, you have no choice but to pay when stuff happens. So what that means, if you are not able to access your capital, your equity, to help maintain that home, you must pay for those inevitable home repairs out of pocket. Yeah, we were charged by our homeowners association some years ago to paint our home. We were forced to paint our home. Now, I'll be honest with you. I see where they're coming from, because the home, it was an ugly, faded color, and, you know, but the bottom line is we had to paint, and we was looking at 45, God, my God, how much did we, it was a good, at least 45, about five grand with everything said and done, out of pocket. Same thing when we were flooded, you know, and that was just one flooding. You know, we've had flooding from the bathroom downstairs where, you know, first it's gurgle, 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 and then literally stuff is coming out because the sewer line is clogged. And I have taken off the toilet and I have snaked the entire sewer line doing what I could. But when you own a home, there are times when you got to pay to have some stuff done. My God, I would love to have some stuff like I said, those damn termite shields, some gutter guards, tons of leaves around my home. I would love to be able to try to protect it, but that's the economic knee on the neck. And see, like I said, the old lady said, Michael, do you think it's because you're black? And yeah, well, honestly, I think, yeah, that's probably got a lot, at least a little, it's probably a lot to do with it. This is America. Not just racist cops. So, the best way I really think I could describe this situation is, I think, a pretty good metaphor is COVID, COVID-19, because for us, it's kind of been like for some people, maybe, you know, actually for, I'm sure a lot of people, when this COVID-19 happened, when, you know, you had to stop going to clubs, you had to stop going to shows, you just had to stop going out, you had to stop interacting with friends. We have been in that boat for at least coming up on 15 years now. Because when you have a horrible mortgage like we have, an adjustable rate mortgage, when you have a situation where you must try to maintain a home without having any maintain a damn near 3,000 square foot home without having access to any capital, you are left to go into debt. You have no choice but to assume debt. Ha. Debt. What could be more American? Debt. And that's what this situation has forced us into. Needless, cruel, fucking debt. Because instead of them letting us access our own money, our own equity, our own capital, nah,
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Nah, you know what I'm saying? Y'all don't get none of this. Nah, you know, and keep on, y'all don't get none of this. Rocket Mortgage. Y'all don't get none of this. Be finding that snap. Y'all don't get none of this. It's like the COVID, as the boomers say, the COVID. But yeah, that's the best, because we don't want to interact. We haven't interacted with people in over 10 years. I imagine when we bought this home, it would be a great place to entertain friends. We don't entertain friends. We don't want them to see our home with the threadbare hardwood floors, the threadbare carpet, the cabinets, closet doors hanging off. You don't want to entertain people when you're in a situation like that. We've been living like that for years. And what I'm telling you is just part of it. I can show you a hole in our bathroom. A hole in our master bathroom, which we have not used in years. Because we just had to turn it off. We couldn't afford to fix it without assuming more debt. So when you're in a situation, you go into debt to pay for stuff you have to. But anything extra, it just don't get done. From fixing a hole in the master bathroom to not going out and hanging with friends and to not having people come over. To the depression. Yeah, the depression. I mean, that I've been going through with this. It's absurd. I remember the next to last time that we tried to finance, my wife looked up at me. She said to me, "What more do they want? What more do they want?" And it's been like that. We've been trying to simply refinance our home, like the commercials with Larry Fitzgerald say. Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage. Don't apply to you niggas over there. Nah, anybody, nah, not you. Keep walking. I call it unimaginable pain, because if you're not living in a situation like that, the best I can do is try to compare it for you to something like the coronavirus, because our life has been like you guys, like a lot of people, like a lot of people's lives have changed during coronavirus. With the financial impact also. Because like I said, you have to pay out of pocket and assume debt, because they will not let you touch your capital. And see, the thing about it, really? It's really not just about Black folks, although, you know, really, I got to say this straight up. This is so consistent with American history, right? To deny Black people loans? How fucking consistent is that? My goodness, please excuse the language. I did not want to curse saying this thing. But anyway, how consistent is that to simply deny Black people access to capital? Yeah. America. So, yeah, that's, I'm sure I'm leaving out a whole lot to this, because there's a whole lot. I mean, again, I call it unimaginable pain, because I suspect that a lot of folks, that's what I was going to say. It's really not just about me. It's not just about Black folks who America has been doing this kind of stuff to for generations. Hell, I think my family had acres. I know my family had acres in Mississippi and was swindled out of pretty much all of it. But anyway, it's about America's middle class. And it's about income inequality. And it's about how the rich keep getting richer. It's about American Cruelty, the podcast. Because these rich people, they keep taking more and more and more, and have the audacity to say we're going to give ourselves another tax cut. And the biggest problem with that is that so many people just sit there. That's the way it is. You can't do nothing. Why the hell aren't you outraged? That's what gets me. Why not more people outraged? My goodness. You have the internet. You see. Other people in other countries don't struggle with student debt like we do. They don't struggle with medical bankruptcy like we do. Are you kidding me? And then the middle class shrinks. Not just because of our situation where they simply won't give us access to our own capital, our own home equity. Nah, you know, I ain't getting that. They drive so many people out of the middle class in so many ways. There's so many traps. And so much of the middle class is simply debt, 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 debt. I see these pickup trucks. Nice, pretty pickup trucks. And to me, I look at them and you know what they remind me? They remind me of the sneakers. You know, them sneakers, them boys and them down the hood, they like to buy, they spend $500 on a pair of sneakers. It's like, do you know how expensive a lot of these trucks are? It's like these poor kids spending hundreds of dollars on sneakers. But this country finds so many ways to just keep us in debt. Student loans, are you kidding me? Why do not more people see the absurdity of paying to simply get educated, to go into debt? And, of course, the foolishness, the insanity, the cruelty of medical debt, medical bankruptcy. People not going to see the doctor because they're afraid they can't afford it. And more people are not angry. WTF, man. Wow. So, that's where I am. Rambled, and I'm sure I rambled, but I'm sure I left out some key stuff. Anyway, that's pretty much my motivation for doing this podcast. Part of the motivation, anyway. And I'm going to tell you more about my other motivation. I think it's going to be part 3, where I tell you guys the motivations. Well, no, not the motivations. I'm going to tell you guys what we're going to do together. So hang with me and we'll talk about it. Hey guys, thank you for listening, staying with me for the premiere episode of American Cruelty, the podcast. I hope a lot of you people write to me and say, this was great, I can relate. Yeah. I hope this thing can catch on, really, I really do, because I really think we need to start a movement where we learn to punch up. Okay, we need to learn to get angry at those who are keeping us down. My God, I'm so amazed that so little is required of those with so much. And people would get angry when you say, we deserve more. We deserve better. Because of all that you have. Now, what's going to happen next? We're going to do this again. Well, the podcast thing, yeah. And really, really, guys, please, I'm going to give you the email address and whatnot and write me and give me some feedback and tell me you love it or tell me you hate it. Most of the time you love it because I don't know what the heck I'm doing. Anyway, we are going to try again. And what I mean by that is we are going to try once more to refinance our home. We're going to try once more to access our equity, to access our capital, to access our own money. We're going to try again. And we have found someone we want to work with to try this. And this person was referred by a friend. And of course, in, you know, the 12, 13, whatever number of years we've been dealing with this, we've had a bunch of folks say, you need to talk to so-and-so and let me tell you about my friend. And, you know, so we've talked to everybody's friend and everybody's agent and every stop. We've talked. That's what I meant to tell you guys. I have contacted attorneys, real estate, obviously agents. I have written to the State Banking Commission. I have written to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau regarding our mortgage situation. And our case was heard by the Federal Reserve of the United States. Our case made it to the Federal Reserve of the United States. And the Federal Reserve said, shot it down. Too bad. Should I have better credit? You only had your platinum for 20 years? They kept moving the goalposts on us. Every time we tried to refinance, they moved the damn goalposts. I mean, I can tell you so many stories over the years of the excuses they've given us. So many. But anyway, that's what's going to happen. We're going to try again. And as we try again, we're going to take you guys with us if you will join us. Hope you'll join us as we see what happens. I mean, would it be something after all these years? I can't stress enough. Well, of a decade of watching a home fall apart. My God, we're going to have to put so much money into this home. Anyway, we're going to try again, and we're going to take you guys with us, and it'd be amazing if it finally happens. But if not, then, hey, I got more energy, more impetus to keep this podcast going. And even if it does happen, I'm going to keep this podcast going because there's so many ways this country is just plain cruel. And cruelty is easy to imagine in context. In the context of what other countries are doing for their people. In the context of the wealth inequality. In the context of, wow. In the context of the immense wealth. This country is so able to do so much more. And it just leans on the white pole and watches. So, on the next episode, folks, we are going to, I'll give you an update on the mortgage process, the mortgage refinance process, you know, because it's a process, you know, you dig up all these papers and tax statements and receipts and all this. And, you know, the thing about it, every time I've done it, I've gone through it so many times, and it's amazing, you always tell yourself, don't get your hopes up. Don't expect it. Don't be excited. And inevitably, you always get your hopes up because you know it will literally change your life. For us, it's like hitting a damn lottery. Really. For us to get access to our own capital would be like us hitting the lottery. Yo. Anybody know some movie maker? I'm telling you, this story, this would be a good story, y'all. If you got, like, raising in the sun kind of thing. You know, there are more tragic stories, obviously. There are more heartbreaking stories, obviously. But just a story of how this country just needlessly puts the economic boot on people's necks is worth telling. Yeah, so I'm sure I'm leaving out some stuff I wanted to say, but It's been 49, almost 50 minutes, and I had no idea how long or short this thing would go. And I'm going to play it back and hope it makes a little bit of sense. But anyway, that is episode one of American Cruelty, the podcast. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. And please write to me. Give me some thumbs up. Give me some positive words, really. It'd be great. Hopefully some folks can relate. Until next time, peace, and take care of one another.